Free Talk Live. Dial toll free to join us on the radio waves. Our number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype. You can Skype on in here at username lrn.fm. And joining you in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
And coming up later tonight, by the way, I was experimenting with this new thing that we have in the studio. It's called the Gear 360. It's a Samsung device. I can't say I'm particularly enthusiastic about the device itself. There's some problems with the software behind the scenes. But, you know, for what it is, it's a cheap $200 consumer level 360 cam. So we've brought new technology into the studio here. It is not replacing our regular cam feed, which I just now realized I forgot to turn on, so we'll get that remedied. It's not going to replace that, but what it is going to do is allow us to do an after show tonight. We're going to do a kind of a different after show, probably around 10:30 Eastern time on our YouTube stream. So if you're able to check that out, if you can watch it live, that's cool, because we'll be able to like interact with the chat room, because we don't ever interact with the chat room during the radio show. Doing a radio show, we're just too busy doing a radio show, really, to read from the chat. It's not really good radio either. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not like, as far as traditional how you do a radio show, sitting there reading from a chat room isn't the most compelling of radio formats.
Agreed, but it's probably really compelling to a small audience of people.
That is
who
the
are
people
the
in the chat room.
Chat room, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So when we do an after show, we're going to have a very small audience. We'll be cutting down from dozens and dozens, of radio stations, cutting down to whoever's watching the YouTube stream. Mm-hmm. And usually our YouTube stream audience is in the dozens if it's a good day. So I don't expect a whole lot. So it'll be a different flavor for the show tonight. And again, that's later on tonight after our live radio show is over, 10:30 Eastern time. Melanie, you're just now finding out about this, so you're welcome to stay. But I know you've got a long drive ahead of you. You come all the way out here from Manchester, so I'll leave that in your hands to decide. But we're going to be experimenting with the 360-degree video thing on YouTube, which it's kind of a gimmick. I don't know if there's probably... it'd be interesting to know what percentage of our audience has even ever tried one of these 360 stream things, or even not a stream, but just a video. For those that aren't familiar, it is something you can use with a VR goggle, so like a Google Cardboard or one of the fancier ones like the Oculus Rift. So it allows you to kind of move your head around and you can see 360 degrees around you and above and below what's going on in a given sort of room. And you can also, if you don't have a VR goggle, you can just use your mouse. So you can just watch it on YouTube.
Spend it, yeah.
And you can just click and drag with your mouse and you can look around. And so it allows you to see whoever's reaction you want to be seeing. You don't have to rely on us to make the decision as far as what is the most important camera shot that you need to be seeing right now. What's the best angle that you need to see? No, you can look at the pencils in our jar if you want to.
You can't, actually, because the camera's right above.
You are incorrect, Mark. Have you tried it?
No.
Okay, then don't talk about it because you don't know what you're talking about. You can see all the way straight down. You can see these scissors, and it's amazing. It's amazing. It's a cool technology. I just don't know if it's caught on in any way, shape, or form. So, Melanie, have you ever done one of these 360 cam views online?
You as like filming it or looking
watched.
At
watched. Watched it.
Yeah, I've watched it for like house layouts and stuff like that. I've
so like a real estate
like a video.
Like a real estate walkthrough kind of thing?
Yeah. Or?
Okay. Okay. Well, that counts. That counts. Mark, have you watched any 360
yes.
cam footage besides the test footage that I just did over the last 72 hours or
yes.
so? Okay. Do you want to tell us what it was?
I think a demo put something up.
A demo Freeman yeah. from copblock.org. All right. So, yeah. So, anyway, I just wanted to make the announcement now that that's something that we're going to be trying out here tonight. And we'll tell you more about it a little bit later on. So you can join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. So normally what we do when we start Free Talk Live, or just before we start Free Talk Live, we'll have a little meeting, a little show meeting, just moments before we get started and sort of go over what different things we want to talk about. Because obviously you can call in about anything you want, but we still have to bring stuff to the table that we think's interesting. And the two of you Melanie and Mark, you both had the same news story. Mark had it last night. We didn't get to it. Melanie, you brought it in tonight. Do you have that ready? Because it's about a mother who apparently made it look like she was piercing her child's dimple, was it?
Yeah, so she...
And people got mad.
Right. Well, because she presented it as a real photo. She went on Facebook and she had photoshopped a picture of her infant child with a cheek piercing.
Okay.
And her infant child is cute.
Yeah. And, I mean, to be fair, this is not what a baby would look like if you had just stabbed it through the face. So, and maybe, I don't know, maybe people don't think about that, but, so she posted that she had just pierced her child's ear, not ear, sorry, cheek, and... Okay, so here's the post right here. So I got the baby girl's dimple pierced. It looks cute, right? I just know she's going to love it. She'll thank me when she's older, LOL. If she decides she doesn't like it, she can just take it out. No big deal. I'm the parent. She is my child. I will do whatever I want. I made her. I own her.
And she's just trolling, right? Like, this was a complete Photoshop.
Whoa. These people do not know that that's what's going on.
The people that are responding don't realize
that.
Right, but it's all fake. She's just BSing people. And now, where did she post this? On her Facebook? Or
Facebook, yeah.
Okay. All right. And so the Facebook universe exploded with outrage over this?
Yeah, so a bunch of people, and I can't see what they said because they have links to the post, and the post has been removed. Mm. But they were apparently really unhappy about it and going off on her. And to me, this is like clearly sarcasm, because though people feel and act like they own other human beings, they don't usually say it. I know.
You mean that's what mom said in this case?
Oh, yeah, she said, yeah. I made her, I own her, in the post. People act like that. People believe that's true. And you will get parents who'll say that, but most parents won't say that outright, even though they act like it.
I think there are some libertarian parents who believe that. What about you? What do you think, personally?
So, children own themselves. Parents are trustees of the children.
Okay. I've definitely heard people make the argument within the libertarian community that that they own their kids. I've heard that before.
I've ironically heard that more from libertarians than regular people. And I think that's because libertarians kind of have to face that, because they don't think anybody's owned, so then... What about children? And kind of the lazy way is like, oh, I own them because I'm allowed to tell them they can't run in the traffic, and not really go any further than that. Or if you just, you know, want to do whatever it is you want
to
do.
You can take your teenage children, put them to work, and keep their paychecks. I mean, it's the closest thing to slavery that we have.
And the state can arrest you, put you to work, and keep your paycheck. That doesn't establish... ownership or morality that establishes
power. You're talking about
power.
Legitimate ownership. So, I mean, okay, fine. It's power. Power, I mean, the functionally, the difference between sort of a right and power in the society that we have today is mitigable at best. Right? I mean, they look very similar.
Well, if you don't know what you're looking at, because, you know, rights and morality are one thing,
do you believe
and who
anybody
has
can
the
be
most
owned?
Guns.
Do you believe that anybody can be owned?
Technically, there's ways to do that, and they're all heinous, but for the most part, for general purposes, no.
Would you agree? No. Generally, you believe that people cannot be owned.
Right.
Okay. Well, then there's really no conversation to be had about whether or not parents own children, because you don't believe it's possible.
Well, right. And that's what I would thought I was going to get from libertarians, but I've apparently... Some of them say they do.
Mark, you're the only parent in the room. I'd like to get you to weigh in here, coming up here in moments. And, of course, you can comment as well. And are there any excerpts from... I heard this lady had death threats. Do we actually have some quotes, any excerpts from
them? It looked like they tried to link them, but they didn't screenshot it. They linked it.
What about the Daily Mail piece, Mark? I know you had a different piece about
this. Same thing.
All right, we're coming up here. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. You can join us here and comment on the baby fake piercing. It's coming up. Yeah. Come on. dial toll-free and join us right here. Our number is 855-450-FREE. Like freedom, that's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, and the Skype username is lrn.fm. Tonight, in the studio with you, you've got me, Ian.
Melanie.
And Mark.
Of course, we got a lot to talk about. You're welcome to join us at 855-450-FREE. Like freedom, and bitcoin.com brings you this program, and they have for quite a long time. Appreciate the folks over there at bitcoin.com. They are the one-stop shop for everything you need to get into Bitcoin life. Maybe you're brand new to Bitcoin. You want to learn the basics? There's no better place than bitcoin.com. They've also got wallets that you can download for your Bitcoin. They've got games that you can play with Bitcoin. You can even get interactive with other Bitcoiners on their forum and get the latest news headlines from news.bitcoin.com. So head over to bitcoin.com. As we continue here, this news about a mom who got into some hot water after photoshopping her baby with a dimple piercing or cheek piercing. And, you know, it actually doesn't look as bad as I thought that it would. I'm looking at the picture here on...
The Photoshop's pretty legit looking.
Yeah, and she...
Except for the fact that if you had just pierced your baby's cheek, it might be red and swollen.
Did she say she just pierced it or that it was that she had pierced it?
Because... Well, I mean, the baby's pretty young. There's not a whole lot in its life outside of just now.
How old was it when the supposed piercing happened?
Baby.
I don't know, but I mean, she looks pretty... I don't think it's said, but she looks pretty little.
Gotcha. So anyway, this led to a conversation. We can get back into... if there's more to the story, we can hear about that. But it led into sort of a larger conversation about parents and do they own their kids. Because apparently this lady got threatened with death, is what I heard from Mark when he was telling me about this yesterday.
That's what it said.
So people took this real seriously, and I really wish we could have read some of those comments. You said she deleted the post from her Facebook page, so poof, there goes, you know, all the comments, unless somebody happened to screenshot it. Presumably she deleted it because of the negativity. She probably just thought it was going to be a fun photo for her friends to see.
She thought it was going to—she did it on purpose.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought she was just trolling people.
No, she was trying to make a point about circumcision.
Oh, no kidding. Huh. Okay. So female or male?
Well, male, because that's what's legal in most, or in the West.
In the West. Okay. Okay, cool. Well, I mean, I got even more respect for it now as, you know, something that she did. And, you know, people are trying to do what they can on Facebook. It's not real activism or anything like that, but, you know, I appreciate her intentions here. So
people's comments here, it says, no, it don't look cute. I don't see the point in that.
Where is this, on the Daily Mail? Or?
Daily Mail piece, yeah.
Okay.
Another guy says, what the F? Oh, my God, that just effing sad, says another one.
Your grammar.
Your name goes next to these posts, everybody.
Yeah.
Check them before you push send.
Well, people are still under some weird delusion that Facebook is private. Even if this hadn't got screenshotted by a journalist, which can happen, it's still everybody who on your friends list and the friends list of whoever you're posting on, and if they have their stuff set to public.
Yep. It's going out there.
And it's not like... Facebook doesn't use, like, PGP. Like, anybody who wants to see it can see it.
People are lazy when it comes to typing, and or maybe they just don't know any better. They went to government school, and they never really learned their grammars real good.
I'm not okay with this one bit. I have several piercings myself. I wouldn't mind piercing my son and daughter's ears, but they're effing cheeks.
What's the difference? Serious?
Well, there's a difference, but that's, you know...
What's the difference?
From a right standpoint, nothing. From the standpoint of sort of physiology, you don't want to poke holes in muscle of another person's body.
I see.
I mean, like, there could be nerve damage in
the cheek. So the earlobe is not as important, is what you're saying.
Like, well, something that's not as important, it's less damageable, which is different.
Okay. However you want to look at it.
Both of those things, I would say, were true. You know,
if you cut off your earlobe, you're going to be fine for the rest of your life, right?
I had a friend in high school whose mother had pierced her ears when she was a baby, and she had gone from sort of having ear holes to slits. Now, this was before the whole gauged earring thing was a thing, and by the time I saw her again in her mid to late 20s, she now had her ear was sectioned. you know, like the hole
like a tongue, like
a slit, and had been forked essentially.
Right. So like a forked tongue on a lizard or something like that.
Yeah, it didn't flay out, but yeah. I mean it was rounded on both ends with the sort of in the slit in the middle. Hmm. And I mean she hadn't gone and gotten plastic surgery to fix that yet. I presume she has now. Hmm. I don't know, but either way, the decision that her mother made was probably not one that she relished would've. In her late 20s.
Right.
So my goal for my son is to deliver him on an 18th birthday with a whole complete body. Mm. And he can then do to that body what he wants.
That's very
at that
nice
point.
Of you. Very thoughtful.
But, you know, I tend to think that the choices he's going to make after that are probably going to be poor. So, you know, there you go. Also, she says, no, never in a million years are my kids or any babies in my house getting their flipping cheeks pierced. What next? Baby eyebrows? Baby tongues? And F, what is the world coming to? Their babies, not baby dolls. And I'm all for circumcision, too. Now, that's the one that I wanted
what?
To read. So now, many of the arguments you can make about circumcision, the arguments you make against circumcision would be against the cheek piece piercing. Very few would be different.
And that was kind of the point of her doing this.
Yes.
Right?
The mother who trolled about the pierced baby's cheek was intending to show, hey, everybody in your dumb cotton baby's sexual parts. You can't. You think it's fine there? Well, take a look at this baby.
Yeah, look
with
what
a
I did.
Cheek
right.
pierced. Now, you know, I think it's unlikely that you're going to like deaden half the baby's face with a cheek piercing and you know make them look like they're running around with a stroke or something. But I suppose it's possible.
Well, just like the effectiveness of doing piercings at that young of an age just doesn't seem to make any sense. Like, what is it? I'm not a doctor, but I don't exactly know how this works, but it would seem like it would mess it up if that part is still growing.
Growing, yeah.
It doesn't seem good at all. Too. But here's the question I would ask to the audience, because the vast majority of the audience is probably pro-circumcision, or at least neutral on circumcision.
I wonder about that.
I would think that they are.
All right, let's find out.
And I would ask you this. Do all medical procedures have risk?
Yes.
Are people more likely to get MRSA in a hospital or out of it?
In a hospital.
Have babies therefore died from receiving circumcisions in hospitals in the United States?
I bet that it happened.
And there's a difference between medical procedures and cosmetic surgery. So if your child needs medical treatment, though all medical procedures come with some risk, you still have to provide them, you know, if appropriate, medical treatment. That is an entirely different question
sure.
than cosmetic surgery.
Right. What's the point?
Which is what people are doing.
In providing a circumcision, forcing a circumcision upon your child, if they don't need it and haven't shown any indication that they would need it, and, you know, modern humans have existed for 200,000 years without it, why would you do that? If you know that it could kill your kid.
855-450-FREE, like freedom. Join us on Free Talk Live.
What's more profitable, running your business or doing bookkeeping? Doing your business, of course, but you want to keep your books so that you can maximize your tax savings, right? What if I told you that there's a person that's a bookkeeper, accountant, and law school graduate that's also a hardcore libertarian?
My name is Melanie Johnson, and I hate the state. I will aggressively help you to minimize your tax exposure and maximize profits, all while staying within the law.
Melanie's your best choice for your taxes and bookkeeping needs. Go to tax.freetalklive.com and check out our website, tax.freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. We are talking about a delicate subject, to say the least, and that is circumcision, specifically circumcision of the male, because female circumcision is outlawed in the West. Of course, it is perpetrated against young ladies and women, girls all across the world, or in different parts of the world, not all across the world, but in different areas of it, and it's, of course,
most
even more horrifying.
You know, mostly African nations and that sort of thing, Northern African nations. But it happens here in the United States by immigrants and people who, you know, and weirdos, frankly.
yeah.
Some weirdos do it to themselves. But
wow,
you should be able to cut off whatever parts you want of
sure.
your own body,
yep,
so long as I don't have to pay some kind of, you know, medical costs for you or
right.
whatever. But that's your body, your business, as far as I'm concerned. But that if it's your body, your business, then that means your child's body is not yours, and you don't get to make that decision for them.
So that's what all this kind of revolves around.
And I don't care what your religion is, mind you.
Yeah. It's a mother who basically was making a point on the issue of circumcision, saying, okay, well, she's against circumcision, but she's going to kind of troll the circumcision advocates by showing a picture of her baby that was photoshopped with a piercing through its cheek, and they flipped out, and some of them were issuing death threats toward her. She pulled the post down eventually, so you can't actually go and read
anything. Well, she might have just put it back to friends only or private or something like that.
Could be.
All we know is that these links don't work anymore.
Right. And so that's the issue, here on the table. I don't think we ever answered or I ever pressed you for the answer, Mark, because we ended up getting distracted. But we were talking about the idea of piercings and circumcising as far as children and ownership of children. And as the lone parent in the room, I mean, Melanie had commented, but I'm curious to hear what you think about the idea that do parents own their children? Because some people believe that.
No, but I think they functionally do. I think that as a child is, the younger a child is, the more that child is completely, like the responsibility lies with you. And, responsibility and privilege are inexorably linked. So, I think that libertarianism has a long and sullied history with sort of, what parents' rights are for children and that sort of thing. I prefer to flee to the terminology, you don't own a child, they are your ward.
Hmm.
But, I mean, it's very difficult to look at this particular, aspect. My son is going to have to do some things that he is ordered to do, right? Like, no, but no, libertarians hate this terminology, free will and all that. But ultimately, there are orders that are issued, and the orders must be obeyed, or they will be enforced.
Take out the trash.
Well, the trash, he's just going to have a rough day, right?
Is it that hard to take the trash out of your house?
No. At certain ages, yeah, it is.
He just doesn't want to do it.
Okay. I was going to say, I remember starting when I was pretty young taking out the trash. And
if I've got an appointment,
wasn't a big deal.
If I've got an appointment and he doesn't want to get in the car, he's going to get in the car.
Right.
Now, the older he gets, the more likely he can stay at home, and then getting in the car doesn't get to be as important or whatever it might be. But ultimately, there's force is going to be used at some point. So, if you feel like I've run around this issue, it's because I run around this issue. I don't think that there's not good evidence that a child
is owned. I don't know if you've run around the issue. I mean, you've said that they are your ward, that the child is your ward. And presumably that would mean that the ward could emancipate themselves if the ward decided that they were done being a ward, right? Like, okay, I'm now going to embrace my adulthood, I'm going to get a job, I'm going to, be responsible, and see you later, Dad.
Well, see, and that, to me, is the only place where that gets fuzzy, because if your three-year-old says to you, I don't want to go to bed, therefore I'm going to walk down the street and live by myself, I think you have every right to pick them up and put them in bed.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that.
But if your 15-year-old says to you, I'm tired of you beating the F out of me every day, I'm going to go down the street and, live in the woods, if you stop them, you are now also guilty of kidnapping.
You remember that story of the mom who, it looked like they lived in kind of a middle-class neighborhood, and she was given her son, and he was pretty young, I don't know, 7, 9, somewhere in that range, seemed young.
The Trump voting kid?
Yeah, that was what it was. She was giving him hell over voting for Donald Trump in a school election and recording it on video. Basically booted him out of the house saying, no Trump voters are allowed to live here, and threw him out.
I suspect he didn't stay out, but he certainly got the impression that he was getting kicked out.
Right. And of course, she posted that online and people started freaking out because, this is abusive, supposedly, behavior to some people, kicking
your kid. Wait, supposedly?
That's abusive.
That's definitely abusive.
Yeah. That's a crazy person.
I mean, you have to keep in mind, they're like a child. Person. They don't have the same intellectual capabilities that you do. They don't understand that this is just for the clicks.
Yeah.
Sure, but you know that kid just went out, cried on the street corner, and then came back in to get his, you know, dinner later.
Shaming
on.
Your kid over which one he voted between the two douche nozzles that were running for president.
I don't agree with what she did, but I'm just saying,
it's
like,
abuse, okay? That's abuse.
Is that right?
Right. Well, there's abusive behavior, and it doesn't necessarily require physically acting like abuse. You don't have to smack somebody in the face
just
to be
like,
abusive.
Just
to
like
them.
Countries, if you're good at it, you don't got to get physical.
Now, I'm not saying...
I thought it was funny, but that's why I'm not a parent.
Well, that's because you're an a-hole, right? Like, you want children to be treated badly, apparently.
No.
Well, then why would you laugh at that?
It was just funny the way it happened. I'd have to pull up the clip again.
Children crying because their parents are being complete and utter insane.
I mean, okay, so the adult equivalent of that, the adult equivalent of that would be, no matter how much money you made and how long you worked and how many pieces of property you bought, the state would just come and have the power to be like, I don't think Ian should live in this house anymore. GTFO. And just do that like every other week. That would be the equivalent of an unstable environment on an adult level of what she's doing to that kid.
Hmm. Well, you guys make a strong argument there.
Yeah.
The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. So you're saying that no parent should ever troll their kids, or that just she went too far?
Yeah, I think you can troll.
Because some of the funniest videos on YouTube are of parents like messing
Why
with their
are
kids.
You watching this?
Right.
I've seen
them over time.
This isn't over time. This is what Ian likes to do. Ian likes to see people's reactions to people that are trolling them. This is what are these called? These prank videos?
No, I don't make any effort to go out of my way to
you
see.
You watch a lot of these videos.
But prank videos are different. I was talking about, you know, I've seen it on occasion where parents
if you're
will
trolling,
troll their kids.
Trolling is pranking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's kind of messing with their head. Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
So that's not – this woman wasn't trolling. This woman was being an insane jackhole.
Okay.
Okay? Whereas if you're just –
How's the kid going to tell the difference, though?
Well, that's kind of the problem.
Right. It doesn't make a difference whether the kid can tell a difference. I was pointing out in one case, you know.
But you're okay with light trolling, but you're not okay with being a jackball.
I think you can tease people as long as they don't come unglued.
Okay, so
that kid was unglued.
So if you create a person with diminished capacity, you now have the responsibility of dealing with them as if they have diminished capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So if you happen upon a grown person who just ain't all there for whatever reason, maybe you're kind of an a-hole if you don't treat them a little, you know, accordingly.
Yeah.
But if you go out, seek out, and create a human being with diminished capacity, you now don't get to say, oh, well, if I did that to a 30-year-old, they'd be fine. Because you didn't create a 30-year-old. You created a person with diminished capacity, and now you have to act like it.
I suppose that there would be no, I suppose that one could claim that it wasn't abuse if you went then out and just trolled random neighborhood kids. But they're probably going to throw rocks through your window, which you would deserve, in my opinion.
The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves here. Bring up whatever is on your mind. I did get some statistics about circumcision, by the way, as far as how often it happens and has it declined over a period of time. I got some of that information for you as well. You can join us here at 855-450-FREE, like freedom. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. You dial on in toll-free here. Join us. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Our toll-free number allows you to bring up anything that you want. We've also got Skype, and the Skype username here is lrn.fm. But I just noticed that Skype, for some reason, is not open. So I'll remedy that situation, and then you can call on Skype.
While that's happening, you can consider the idea that healthcare in this country is mixed up and that we need a healthcare system that focuses on health, not sickness. Now, sure, health insurance will pay for treating sickness, but it gives you nothing for being healthy. And doesn't that incentivize illness instead of health? Well, there's a free market healthcare company that can give you freedom from health insurance. HealthExcellenceSelect.com. They give you a proactive health assessment as often as daily if you need it. No charge, 24-hour access to doctors. HIPAA's messed with medical records so much that one doctor doesn't know what the others are doing. How about a medical information card that you can give to EMS, first responders, the emergency room, or whatever medical professional you want? You can check them out right now. HealthExcellenceSelect.com. Any kind of doctor. Traditional, integrative, chiropractic, acupuncture, massage. You'll love the service and the price. HealthExcellenceSelect.com.
All right, our toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. And we were talking about circumcision, this baby's cheek that didn't actually get pierced but was made to look as though it had online in a Photoshop that a lady was doing to make a point about circumcision, how she opposes it. Really kind of, I thought it was a poignant way of doing it, and apparently it really riled a lot of people up. They threatened her with death, and that ended up somehow, you know, getting her in the news. So you're welcome to comment on any of the, you know, stuff we have been talking about. And by the way, with you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Melanie.
And Mark.
So, also, we were talking about circumcision and the numbers behind it. I did a little, you know, quick search, and I did find a story from 2015 at YouGov.com that, according to this, according to their statistics, their latest research, which I'm not sure exactly, you know, how it was conducted, but they did say here that 62% of American men have said they are circumcised, 27% said no, 11% said they prefer not to say. And then another question that they asked is, do you wish that you had not been circumcised? So asked of that 62% who had been circumcised, of the 62% of men in America in 2015 who had been circumcised, 86% of them say that they do not wish that they had not been circumcised, meaning that they are glad.
Everything's fine.
That they were circumcised. And only 10% say that they wish their parents had not circumcised them, while 4% said they didn't want to say.
10% is a large number. It doesn't matter to me what percentage of people, you know, like if 90% of people say, yes, I think it's great that we perform this, you know, this needless operation on kids that, again, I'm going to reiterate this. Every medical procedure has risks, that infections from MRSA, sepsis, and a variety of other things are more likely if you are, you know, have an operation in a hospital versus someplace else, because that's where these things happen. And that although I can't find numbers on this, it seems to stand to reason to me that if people die from every other kind of operation out there, that people die from circumcision.
Sure.
And I mean, told this. Like, yeah. Doctors never say, you know, that there's a chance that your child's going to die.
Every surgery.
They're going to say, they're going to write it down to infection. They're going to write it down to MRSA. They're going to write it down to other things. They're never going to say, giving this pointless operation that a child never had a choice in.
But those things happen. Those things happened because of the operation. Otherwise, they wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. But it just seems kind of clear, and I understand if this was 50 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever, and you have doctors telling you that this is necessary, that doesn't, you know, that might change things a little bit. But if you're talking about now, so you're doing sexual cosmetic surgery on an infant, which just seems to pretty much violate every rule of medicine. I mean, I wouldn't even call this a medical procedure. You know, a facelift, I wouldn't consider a medical procedure. Maybe
it's cosmetic.
It's coded that way. I don't know. But this is clearly cosmetic surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to mothers that actually say things like, it looks better. Now,
that's mostly what I get. That's most, like, I'm not even getting anybody making medical arguments anymore, because those have all been debunked.
Well, not all debunked. I think that there's an argument that you have to clean better if you, you know,
use soap.
Okay, yeah, and do you think that you're going to have a hard time convincing your prepubescent son to clean better in the shower?
I don't think you will. You know, it's a relatively simple conversation to have. But the, you know, I would, that's usually what I've heard, is it's cleaner. And okay, it's cleaner. Fine. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way. And
it's a big trade-off to destroy a bunch of nerve endings.
Right. There's all kinds of parts of your body that get dirty
And we don't cut them off.
We don't cut them off.
Yeah.
So we just tell you to take a bath.
Right? Like, you can't argue that there are nerve endings in the, you know, the skin there, and that, you know, sensations change and a whole variety of other things. So, again, it's none of your business. You shouldn't be cutting off parts of your kid. But the people that are making the argument that boys, that it looks better or whatever, I think it's just nuts. Because if you said that about your little girl, people would throw you in prison.
Mm. Yeah, why the discrepancy? Why the
we're
going to
trim
standard?
This part. It looks better. What? Are you kidding?
Mm-hmm.
You'd go to prison for that.
So continuing with some interesting numbers here, then they break it down. They break down the numbers. Again, these are poll numbers from 2015 of men in America. Question, should circumcisions be routine? And men between the ages of 18 and 29, only 33% said they should be routine.
Well, that's still a third of people saying, yes, we should cosmetic surgery on newborns.
No doubt. But then when you go up to 30 to 44, men those ages, 43% say it should be routine. Ages 45 to 64 goes up to 52% saying it should be routine. And finally, 65 plus, a whole 63% of those people are saying that it should be, or those men are saying that it should be routine. At least I presume they were talking to men still here in this particular case. But either way, people those ages. So you can see there is definitely, you know, a big difference in age groups as far as what people believe about circumcision. But interestingly, there's also a lot of people in the younger age category who answered that they're not sure. So 41% in the 18 to 29 said they're not sure. 30 to 44-year-olds said 40% of them, so about the same, said they weren't sure. People between 46 and 64, 35% of them said they're not sure. And then older folks, 65 plus, only 22% of them. So they've made up their mind by their older age on
this
issue.
They've made up their mind about everything. I mean, look, I'm 46 years old. You're not going to change my mind on much. I've looked at the evidence and, you know, that's how that is. And that's just the way human beings are. They tend to not listen to people that are younger than them because younger means less wise, as we've been taught throughout our lives. And so therefore, they think as they get older that their opinion better, and they've been with their opinion for a very long time, so they're comfortable with it. Now, you can have an argument with them, you can destroy their points, and the vast majority will still hold on to it. Now, I try my very, very best to be flexible around my opinions. If you call in, you destroy my opinion, you destroy my supporting arguments, I'm gonna have to look at it.
Mm-hmm. And but, you have. I've seen you do it.
Yeah, I have. I try my very best, but there's some issues you're going to have a very difficult time with it. Like, try to convince me taxation's not theft. You have a hard, hard time with that one.
For sure. If you want to try, you're welcome to call in toll-free, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. So, again, so I was giving you numbers from 2015. Younger people seem to be less in favor of circumcision, but also a lot of younger people aren't sure. And then older people more in favor of circumcision and very sure about it. And so over time, though, there's some numbers here from CIRP.org. That's a circumcision reference library. Sounds like a real page-turning kind of place. They've got some numbers that go back to 1994, only about a 12-year span. So I've got from 94 to 2006. I haven't been able to dig further in the limited amount of time we've had to see what the more recent numbers might be. But I mean, we certainly just saw the numbers from 2015. But anyway, it looks like a slight decline over time. And they actually, interestingly, broke it down by region in the United States. So back in 1994, 80% of the North Central region, there was a circumcision incidence rate of 80%. So 8 out of 10 males were circumcised in the North Central region. That has only dropped to, or as of 2006, only dropped to about 77.9%.
Was it of newborns or of all males? Because that's going to skew the numbers.
Not clear. Not clear on that.
It would be ridiculous to put young females in there.
I think it is boys.
Well, no, but I was saying newborns or adults.
More coming up here in moments. It says boys here, so that probably doesn't mean adults. There's more on the way. This is Free Talk Live. I can give you more of the history here coming up.
Tired of spending hours hunting down the day's essential political news and views? Let Tom and Steve at Rational Review News Digest do it for you. Visit rationalreview.com for free hand-curated news, commentary, and audio and video content. Choose from web, social media, and once-daily email editions. We've been the Freedom Movement's daily newspaper since 1991. Come find out why at rationalreview.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything you want. Our toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733 as we launch into the second hour of the program. With you in studio tonight, you've got Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
So for those of you just tuning in, I think we're mostly done talking about the story of the mom who essentially trolled people on Facebook by doing a photoshopped version of a picture of her baby with a piercing through its cheek. And she was trying to make the point, as I understand it, that she was against circumcision, male circumcision, and probably also female circumcision, just against circumcision being forced on children. And was trying to make that point by, you know, making people believe that she had done this supposedly terrible thing to her child because she owns her child. Not that she actually believes that, but that's what she was purporting. And that resulted in death threats being leveled against her and apparently some news headlines as well, and led to us talking about raising kids and circumcisions and things like that. And so I did have the statistics for 1994 through 2006, and I thought it was interesting that there's some pretty different percentages between different areas of the United States.
That doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, I also already knew that, so maybe that's cheating, but okay. You have different everything across different areas.
Yeah, it's a different place. There's no doubt. But it's a drastic difference between, let's say, the western region of the United States. And this is across more than a decade. So 1994 to 2006, they show you year by year what percentage of males are circumcised. And the biggest percentage is in the north central region of the United States, where pretty much across the board, it's about 8 out of 10. As of 2006, it was a little bit less than 8 out of 10 males. So
males or boys? I thought you said boys before.
Well, you know, it says here boys, but obviously boys become males. So, you know, we're talking
sure,
about...
Sure, but if you're talking about, men...
What percentage of men choose to get themselves circumcised
later on?
Well,
right, but there's a difference between an incident rate and a rate...
And doing it to yourself.
Right.
Well, no, but so if they're talking about the rate of in newborns, that's tells you something completely different than if it's the rate in all males. Because mm-hmm. if it's the rate in all males and it's only going down by 3%, then that's a drastic reduction in it continuing to happen because only a small percentage of all males are newborns.
Can you imagine how the numbers would be affected, Ian, if 90% of a population was circumcised, right? Male population was circumcised. And then 80% of their children were being circumcised. It would bring the number down, but it wouldn't bring it down to 80% until all that 90% died.
Mm-hmm.
So it would go from, 90% to 89.7%.
Yeah.
It would slowly eke down. So it's very important, the age of the people here.
I don't have that for you. I'm sorry. It just, it does say here underneath the circumcision incidence rate. I mean, there's a lot of data here. I apologize.
Okay, so
the
incidence rate is going to be newborns and the few adults who do it. But
Not necessarily newborns, because it can happen later. It happened, as I believe it happened to me later on in life. So
how later?
I believe I was like 11 or 12 or something like that.
You believe that you had...
Okay, you would have remembered that if you were 11
or
12.
Well, I had a hernia operation. I believe they did the circumcision at the same time, I believe is what happened. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure
that... call and ask your mother.
I mean, I certainly could, but I believe that to be the case because, I lived with that thing down there and, it looked different when I was a kid. So I'm pretty sure that's when that happened.
It's crazy.
So anyway, back to the story here. Circumcision rate by region. So anyway, north central region, about 8 out of 10. Southern region, back in 1994, 64.7% to 2006, where it went down to 55.3%. The western region, way, you know, not even close to the rest of them, 34.2% in 1994 to about 33.8%. So about flat. It actually peaked up a little bit during the aughts, but pretty flat over about a 12-year time frame.
I think if you were to break this out by demographics, you know, ethnicity and that sort of thing, that you would find sort of European Americans are much more likely to perform circumcisions on their kids than other ethnic groups.
Interestingly, they did break it out by race here, race and ethnic disparities. This actually chart goes over a much longer period of time, from 1979 through about 2006. It appears as though whites and blacks are pretty close as far as their genital integrity. So they're showing the opposite. How many people in, you know, how many males in white versus black versus other? They don't break it down any further than that. So how many of them still have their foreskin? 35% of white males back in 1979. That has gone up in 2006 to about, I would say, 42.5%. And then blacks, they started measuring, so blacks were at about 42% integrity back in 1979, and they're only at about 40% after dipping down to around 35% in the late 90s and in early aughts. So fairly close between blacks and whites. And then the other is much higher, a little bit higher at around 45% or 47% today. So some interesting stuff. I'll put that up on our Facebook and Twitter, especially the regional differences. The people out west, not as likely to be circumcising. And you suggested that's because of Hispanics.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
And that's just because white people just like to circumcise, is what you were saying during one of the breaks.
It's my understanding of it. You know, circumcision was started by a crusade from guys named Kellogg and Graham. Mm.
In the United States.
Like Kellogg cereal.
Those guys.
And Graham crackers.
Yep.
You know, those guys. The idea was basically to stop people from sinning by touching themselves.
They were really obsessed with this, apparently.
And I can tell you in my case, that did not work.
No, it didn't work here either.
Ridiculous. It's really ridiculous is what it is. And it's just kind of kept along. There is no medical procedure which has been prescribed for so many things as circumcision. You go look and see the things historically that circumcision's been prescribed to fix, and it doesn't fix any of them. The best argument you can make for it is that, yeah, well, you know,
you'll look normal in the locker room,
it's
son.
It's clean down there. I'll tell you what, in my going to Braden and Christian, I had no idea what circumcision was.
Mm-hmm.
For, like, they talked about it in science class. I didn't understand it. I didn't know what it meant.
I didn't know what it was until well into my adult years.
Finally, like, I asked during class, can somebody explain this to me in science class? They attempted to explain it to me. Meant nothing. They're, of course, not going to show you pictures of Braden and Christian. You know,
and they didn't have the internet until fairly recently.
We did have a Cambodian kid at school. And finally, if my friend, you know, like after class, is just like, hey, check out Booney in the locker. And there you go.
Okay.
So if you want to avoid this, show the pictures.
Right. I mean, it's embarrassing. Teachers. Of course it is. Yeah. I mean, but I didn't know.
I mean, they don't have to be photographs, like sketches, whatever, you know.
Right.
Let's go to a lady that knows more than a thing or two.
Ms. Browning wasn't going to do that.
Let's go to a lady that may know more than a thing or two about circumcision. It's Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you want to weigh in on this topic here?
Well, you know what? I like circumcised you know, circumcision, it is cleaner, but I wanted to talk about something interesting. You know, Tito's vodka, you know, was announced on NPR. So there are contributors to NPR.
Who is?
Now, which brand?
More
vodka?
Tito's vodka.
Tito's vodka, okay.
Vodka.
Tito's?
Tito.
Okay.
Tito.
Tito's vodka. So that is pretty communist and Western. And I mean, tell me who else makes
is
vodka?
It?
in America.
There's a lot of, well.
There are so many vodka brands.
Yeah.
I would know.
Have you ever been into a liquor store?
Have you drank?
Hold on. We're going to get answers to all these questions here in moments. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Sarah on vodka coming up here on Free Talk Live.
And maybe people living on the moon.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Now you're going to start. You're going to start her into that again. Here we go. It's Free Talk Live. More on the way. You can take control of the airwaves. Free Talk Live. You're invited to join us on the radio waves here. Take control of those airwaves. Bring up whatever's on your mind. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. 855-450-3733. And we do have Skype at Skype username lrn.fm. So if you want to help build a better financial system for everyone, you ought to join Dash. Dash is digital cash. It's a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast, private, and easy. Fees are low, and transactions are fast, and can even be confirmed instantly. You can pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime for just pennies on the dollar. And Dash is on sale right now with all of the altcoins apparently taking a big tumble in their U.S. dollar-related prices today. Yep. Dash is decentralized. It's run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Anyone can invest in Dash and earn rewards for helping run the Dash network. So join Dash and help create a better financial system for everyone. Take back control over your financial future today and find out more at Dash.org. There's a lot of momentum behind Dash right now, so go to Dash.org and learn more.
You can go to DashForceNews.com, which I get a lot of my Dash news about from. News about Dash from?
Yes.
From which I get?
That's correct.
Okay. Anyway.
It's a good news source for Dash.
Yeah. See an interview with Ian here on digital cash and crypto anarchism right there at DashForceNews.com.
Yeah. Thanks to Joel Valenzuela for having me to talk about that, because there's a lot of really cool stuff going on for cryptocurrency here in New Hampshire.
Oh, yes. Hopefully there'll be more.
There will definitely be more.
Much more.
As more libertarians and voluntarists and crypto anarchists move here, whether it's part of the New Hampshire freedom migration or for whatever reason, we're just going to keep getting more effective at spreading cryptocurrency up here. And we talk about a lot of what it's like to kind of get out there and share these things with merchants and what needs to happen to take this to the next level. And we covered a lot. It was like a half hour long plus interview. And I actually haven't even had a chance to check it out myself. So DashForceNews.com, you said, is where that is?
Yes.
Let's go to Sarah. She's in New Mexico. And Sarah, you had called in about NPR, which you're a big fan of as a self-avowed communist. You've told us on the air that you believe that NPR is a communist news network, and you were surprised, it sounded like, when you found out that they had a vodka sponsor today?
Well, I'm not surprised, because there's my solid proof that they are a communist radio station, because they were taking contributions from the Kabursky lab, and they had Russian spies working for that company. So if you were to check out the Tito's vodka company, you're going to find out they're going to have Russian spies working in that company.
Well, that is awfully speculative, because right now it looks like Tito's Vodka, you had said they were Russian, but, a basic Google search reveals their website, titosvodka.com. They're not a sponsor, by the way, just since you brought it up. It says here that they're made in Austin, Texas.
But they can be if they email me at mark@freetalklive.com.
Yeah, so Austin, Texas, they claim it's handmade vodka, whatever that means, Sarah.
Well, the thing is, who are the people that are running it? I mean, but what I'm saying is, who knows how to make vodka? That's the question.
A lot of people.
Lots of people. I know people personally who know how to make vodka.
Sarah,
but lots of people know how to make
Johnny
vodka.
Johnny Ray knows
Sarah,
how.
Are you Italian?
No, I am not Italian.
Do you know how to make spaghetti?
Yes.
Okay. Problem solved.
And Tito does appear, unless this is an actor portraying Tito, the man that is on the front page and then on the further Ask Tito page, unless it's an actor, he appears to be a relatively well-groomed Caucasian man who's playing a guitar here. So, you know, there's really nothing whatsoever that feels Russian about this at all. It is very kind of down-homey, Texas-style. It's really all about Texas.
I mean, vodka comes from all over. They have vodka from Sweden. Like, it's...
Right.
They have vodka in the States,
is the
obviously.
Is the vodka, as a vodka expert, Melanie, because you went to law school, is the vodka from Russia better than other vodkas?
That really
I was asking Melanie, but you're welcome
like
to
my
weigh
exception.
In. Huh?
You know, I mean, but I was listening to that Theater Works, and they're talking about this Russian activist lady that she was the first one to have the domestic call line in Russia. I don't know how, but
a domestic call line?
What is a domestic call line?
Domestic violence call line, the first one, a woman getting beat up, you could call them, and she was the one that started that, and she was down in some kind of African Zimbabwe or something.
What's that have to do with vodka?
So what I'm saying is there's a lot of talks about Russian people that do great things on that radio station.
Of course there are Russians that have done great things.
Every person in Russia is not Vladimir Putin. Like, this is something that, I mean, and I'm not attacking you specifically, but this is something that, like, a lot of people really need to understand. Russia is a big place.
It's a big place.
As big as places get, geopolitical places.
Is it bigger than China? It probably is, right?
Geographically.
I also want to mention that after the Fidel Castro passed away, you know, it was announced on NPR that there's Communist Party all over the Middle East and all over the world, making tribute to the effects of Fidel Castro.
Do you think
and the people who escaped his regime were partying in the streets
with vodka? I bet.
Yep.
Hey, do you think, Sarah, since you are a communist, if you were to drink communist-made vodka versus capitalist-made vodka, that you'd be able to tell the difference?
Well, you know what? I never drink vodka.
What do you drink? What is Sarah's?
Spit it back out.
Yeah, it's pretty harsh. It is pretty
harsh.
Well,
it depends on what you get, because vodka, there's a wide spectrum. I mean, you can get, like, store-brand stuff. Patron,
it's still going to be pretty harsh.
Patron tastes awesome. It's
really
expensive as... It's okay. Expensive.
I'll take your word for it.
But it tastes like candy.
What, do they put sugar in it?
I mean, alcohol is basically a sugar anyway.
Okay. Yeah, it shows you what I know about alcohol and how you make it. But, Sarah...
I never drank it, so I would know the difference.
Okay, so what do you like to drink? Do you drink at all? Are you somebody who imbibes alcohol?
Not at all. Hardly ever. I mean, I drink a little bit of red wine or something, just a little light wine here and there.
Here and there, like every night?
I never grew up.
How often?
No, like maybe every 6 months or once a year.
Okay, yeah, wow.
I don't buy alcohol.
Okay, that's like my mom. She's like hardly ever.
Sarah's on a tight budget, and I agree with, and I support her in not spending her, wasting her money on alcohol.
Can you buy alcohol with food stamps?
No.
No, you cannot do that.
Okay, that
explains it then. You only can buy cold food. Yeah, but then when I buy sushi or something, people sneer at me. You know, they want to let me over with a shopping cart. It's kind of really stupid when they blew like 50 more.
Maybe you need automated shopping carts as well. That way, you know, people don't get run over by them. It sounds like it could be a real problem down there. Thanks for the call tonight, Sarah. Appreciate hearing from you. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. You can bring up whatever is on your mind. Coming up here, since we're talking about drinking, this is actually a perfect segue. I've got a story here from Free Range Kids, and I definitely want to get your thoughts on this, Melanie, as somebody who's actually the only person here who's been through full-on college. I've only been through an associate's. 3 rules I made my daughter swear to obey at college. We'll get into those coming up here in moments, and you can share your thoughts. Toll free, 855-450-FREE. Like freedom, it's Free Talk Live.
You have probably heard about Bitcoin and virtual currencies, but you really don't know what to do next. Maybe you feel like they have already passed you by. Nothing could be further from the truth. Bitcoin is an emerging technology still. It's still in beta, and it's sweeping the globe. All the information that you need to learn about Bitcoin is at Bitcoin.com. Go to your browser, type in Bitcoin.com, choose a wallet program, get Bitcoins, and then spend Bitcoins. Bitcoin.com, the only site you need to know for virtual currencies, Bitcoin.com.
Live. Dial on in toll-free. Bring up whatever you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype as well. Skype username is lrn.fm. Tonight with you, it's Ian.
Melanie.
And Mark.
So, let's see. I've got a story here from Free Range Kids. Great blog by Lenore Scanese, that we've had on the show a couple of years ago from, I think it was the Porcupine Freedom Festival at that time. Really cool blog. She was called the world's worst mom in the past by all kinds of people on the internet.
For letting her, I can't remember how old.
10, I think he was
10-year-old kid take the subway home because he wanted to.
On his own.
On his own. Yeah.
In New York City. And he made it. He didn't get abducted or molested or kidnapped or murdered on the way home.
Or any of the things that people were presuming that was going to happen to him.
He made it. And so that kind of is what got her some attention. And she then launched this blog. And it's pretty fantastic because she advocates for, you know, parents trying to help their kids be more independent rather than this constant babying and helicopter parenting that goes on.
Which is supposed to be the end goal, to end up with a fully functioning adult,
right.
Not to end up with a pet human who you can use their lack of ability to control them forever.
And they can live in your basement.
Or whatever. Yeah. I think that Melanie's exactly right here. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be getting a functional adult. The way you get a functional adult is after you inform them how to function, then you have to allow them to
try
function.
It. Yeah. Let them fail.
We were. I was outside of my house riding my bike on my street at 6 years old. By 7 years old, I was going around to the next street. I had to go on the busy road. My mom wanted me to walk the bike. After a couple of times doing that, I rode it. We went to the store. We played out in the woods. We did a whole variety of things. This is at 7 and 8 years old.
You mean you and your friends, not you and your mom.
Yeah, and I think that it's so foreign to us today that even I, as the parent of a 9-year-old, find it hard to imagine to some extent. And my son just doesn't have any interest in going out and spending too much time in the woods.
He doesn't live in a neighborhood either. It's not like he can just go down.
Go out in the woods.
Right, but there's not other
kids.
But
there's nothing in the woods to do.
Yeah.
I try to encourage him to go out there. And
well, of course there's things to do in the woods as a child. You use your imagination. But usually you have friends along to do that too together, but that if you don't live in a neighborhood.
Wait,
it's
but
a
like
harder.
I'm saying like standing by yourself in the middle of the woods, like, oh, that's a tree. That's like what do you do, you know?
I think you're a little too old to remember what you might have done if you were in the woods as a child. But regardless, we're moving past the childhood, what happens. We talked about circumcision and things like that. Now all the way over to college, where some parents won't let go, even at this late stage in the game. They've been clinging their whole life, the young person's whole life, and they're going to cling as long as they can. In fact, somebody just mentioned that they had a friend who was in a situation like this with one of these helicopter parents, which is a term that I remember we talked about like a decade ago on this program, the idea of a parent who is so concerned for their college age, child, not really a child anymore, but college-aged young person, offspring, that they are as around as often as they can be. They're trying to go to job interviews with them. They're calling the human resources department to put in a good word for their son or daughter. They're there at the college dorm as often as they possibly can be. They're floating along with them in whatever way they possibly can. They're like helicoptering and hovering over them.
Well,
all the time.
I think that it gets, once they're beyond college, it gets laughable. Like you're not helping.
It's laughable
in
college.
It's definitely laughable in college.
I don't know that it is.
That's the traditional time.
I laughed at it when I was in college.
Did it happen? Well, your mom was a helicopter parent?
No, no.
Other people.
Well,
people were having their parents like write papers for them and show up. It was ridiculous.
Well, I mean, so people consider the grade that they get in college to be important, right? I mean, it has value. Otherwise, they wouldn't have letter grades. They just have pass or fail.
Okay. Some colleges have that.
They consider that's very few.
Yeah.
They consider it important. So if I believe it's important, and I can see why parents who are spending a buttload of money to send their, probably pampered and nearly useless child to college are going to want to make sure that child then graduates college with the best possible grades that they possibly can. And so they're going to continue what they've done up to that point, which is to advocate for their child and make sure that they've gotten good grades and all those other things. I mean, there's the incentives are all there for people to helicopter.
Well,
if that
okay,
makes
but
sense.
You're
there's
prob-
no excuse.
They're probably better off with a B and actually knowing how to function.
Oh, yes.
Than they are with an A and that.
Yeah, I concur. Mean, to me, I get what you're saying, Mark. That those are the rationale that someone could use, but in my opinion, there is no excuse for that kind of behavior. If indeed you want your child to become an independent, responsible, healthy adult who doesn't need to have mommy, you know, there.
What they want is they want their kid to win in the game of life. And uh-huh. The winning at the game of life means college degree and, you know, good paychecks and all these other things.
That's what they think.
That's what they think.
Yeah, but we've already shown plenty of times that the college degree is actually not really worth everything that they want you to believe that it is. The much lauded, portrayed claim that college will increase your lifetime earnings by like $1 million or something like that. I forget that they like to throw out this $1 million number. And the facts are they are just being dishonest and being very sneaky with those numbers.
I'd like to see what happens if they remove the degrees liberal arts, communications, anything that ends with studies, mm-hmm. Like all these what I consider to be basically useless degrees.
So only include degrees that are actually jobs.
Right. I want to see how much more you make as an engineer, a lawyer, a doctor,
some of those things you can't do without college.
Right. Those things you need college for.
Yeah.
Many of the things you do not. You can go and study pretty much anything you want online. This is something I've battled with. I would really like to get a degree because I've raised with to believe that degrees are important, just like everybody else. I've got this little niggling idea in my head. Maybe it's a good idea for me to go back and get a history degree. I want to get a history degree.
Oh, why would you do that?
For fun?
He's bored.
That doesn't sound like fun.
Midlife crisis.
Go read about history. You'll actually learn something about history.
Well, right. There's all kinds of history on the internet.
If what you want to do does not require a degree,
don't do it.
Don't get a degree.
Yeah. I agree. And you're speaking
right, because then you're getting into all this huge debt, and the $1 million that they talk about, of course, factors in all these super wealthy millionaires who, of course, push the average number up with their big money that they're making. So a lot of these college students think they're going to be making all this extra money when the truth is they're in debt for a good portion of their adult lives after that.
Well, and what I found is, and to be fair, I have more degrees than I need. I might make a little bit more than somebody in the same job without a degree.
Yep.
A couple dollars an hour or whatever.
But it's all going to debt service.
Yeah. So they're actually, at the end of the day, they're actually making more. Plus, by the way, I'm getting taxed on that money that's going to Sally Mae at a higher tax bracket. So they're definitely making more at the end of the day. Now, if you want to be a surgeon, you have to go to college. Yeah, yeah. That's how life is.
But what did law school cost? $100,000 or something like that? I mean, you don't have to tell us if you don't want to, but I would guess it's pretty expensive.
When I graduated, I had like 20 in undergrad debt. When I went to law school, I left with 150.
And how many years is that of your life, law school? Four?
Three.
So 3 years, $150,000.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine what you could have done if somebody had just said, you know what? Instead of college, Melanie, here's $150,000. Go ahead, start your own business, buy a house, get yourself settled in life. I mean, can you imagine? That
would
be
such... Your first business is highly likely to fail, so that you'd still be just as in debt.
Well, putting money into a house wouldn't hurt. It would give you a place that you could stay and, not have to pay rent into some other landlord's mortgage, and then you could fail at a business, and you wouldn't have to leave your home because...
Yeah, I could have bought a house in Louisiana and came up here and still had $50,000.
Yeah, there you go. And that would presume you couldn't sell your house in Louisiana either. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. Let's get into 3 rules I made my daughter swear to obey at college, and it's pretty much about drinking. So we're going to get into that coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You may join us right here. The toll-free number, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
We're talking about college, and we're going to get the three rules that I made my daughter swear to obey at college. This from a website called Forever Why For Every Mom. Oh, For Every Mom. I thought it was Forever Why Mom. Forever.
That could also be a website.
Forever.
Different people on it, probably.
It is, Ian, don't worry.
For Every Mom.
For Every Why Mom. Yep, you're right.
Anyway, we're going to get into it here with the commentary from Free Range Kids, but that it sort of led us into a discussion about, you know, kind of the classic Free Talk Live discussion about college and how it's, for a lot of people, a huge waste of money and a huge waste of time. So, you know, young people out there, beware about these college recruiters. These are salespeople. You know, they make this all
even
look
the
like,
ones that work in the high school, by the way.
Yes, that's what their job is to sell you on college. And I don't know if they make a commission on it, but, you know, I'm sure their paycheck's pretty decent with nice benefits.
Well, usually it looks shady when you make a commission. So what they do is you get to keep your job if your numbers are up.
There you go.
There was a time when all school was paid for. Then the local government began to subsidize elementary school, you know, kindergarten through sixth grade. Sixth grade, if you've ever gone online and taken one of the old sixth grade tests, it is a lot of information that, you know, if you know it, that you're probably going to be functional. Whereas sixth graders today don't know this same information by any stretch of the imagination. Then they began to add...
I don't know that information on that sixth grade test that you're
more
talking
grades,
about.
And as the government then got into, you know, high school and all that stuff, high school education became less and less valuable. To the point now that a high school education really is of not much value at all. If you were to choose... If the same child were to leave high school at 16 versus and take a GED and then do whatever it is that they're going to do versus graduating, they would just have more time.
You are really angering some people out there.
I don't think
right
I've ever even had anybody, as far as like job applications, ask if
never.
I've had more people ask me in bars if I had a high school degree. probably I think that's the only place I've ever been asked. Like nobody interviewing
no one cares.
Or applications have ever.
But
asked.
This is blasphemy to say this. I mean, there's this group of people out there. Let's call them haters.
Well,
who just believe
statistically, people with high school diplomas are going to make more money than people who don't have them. But the reason is people that don't have high school diplomas tend not to make it through high school. Like you're talking about people who couldn't make it through high school, not people who willingly chose to leave high school.
Good point.
There's a difference
there. There's
a big difference. If you can finish high school and you choose to leave it, you simply have more time. I can't tell you what I learned in high school that was useful to me besides typing class, and that was an elective. Thank you, Ms. Bird. but, you know, the rest of it was tripe.
Yeah.
Like when there are certainly careers that use trigonometry and analytic geometry.
Yep.
Broadcast is not one of them. No. I mean, the time that I spent in Ms. C. Card's, trigonometry and analytic geometry class was the time that I wasn't sleeping, mind you, was wasted.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just
you
a
don't
waste.
Get it back. You know, you could have been doing something productive with that time, but no.
Algebra 2?
Yeah, I wish that I had, I was homeschooled through high school. I wish that I had skipped class more in college. I wish that I hadn't gone to law school, period.
Yeah.
But I wish that I had skipped class more in undergrad because I didn't need to be there.
You could get the grades without having been there?
You could get a B. As long as you're not, like, too stoned, you can just get a B.
Even though what you're saying is completely true about college and high school.
Let me finish my thought on that.
Yeah.
Is that when the government gets involved in college and everybody gets a free college degree, a bachelor's degree will be 4 more years you wasted for nothing.
Because it won't be worth anything because everybody will have it.
Everybody will have it, and it will then be essentially useless. You will then have 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th grade.
Then everybody has $100,000 in debt or 50 grand or whatever.
And then those valuable years which you could be learning how to do a job have now been spent going through government education,
right.
The vast majority of which is useless.
I had the same book in college, one of the college classes that I did in high school.
It was the exact same book. Yeah.
And even if you do, or even if you are pursuing a career that does require a college degree, yes, if that's what you want to do, then now you have to go and you should do that in order to accomplish that goal. But you're still going to end up wasting a lot of time because you're going to have a minimum of 2 years of just complete BS. And then when you do get into classes that have anything at all to do with your career path, they're going to be watered down to a ridiculous point. You could get
so that
the
they
same...
can be taught by somebody who doesn't know how to do the job?
Right. Mm. And so that you can pass, you know, 100,000 people. You could get the same education online for free for most things. Now, you're not going to learn how to do brain surgery at Kaplan. What is that website?
Kaplan's one of them, yeah.
Yeah. So, but for most things, especially, you know, undergrad level things, that works. The problem is you need the piece of paper. So
If
you were trying to be one of these things, yes, you have to go, but it's still an enormous waste of time.
Let's go to your calls and thoughts here. Skype, where Jay Ryan is on the line. Hello, Jay Ryan.
Yeah, hello, Mark. How you doing?
Well, Jay.
Yeah, thank you. You can call me Ryan. I appreciate you having me on your show today.
Well, it's an open phone show, so...
You are welcome.
Anybody's always welcome
What's
to call
on your
in.
Mind?
Go ahead.
Well, I just, you know, the point I wanted to reach out, Mark, is that, you know, I saw that you're having Roger Ver on the show today, and it seems like, you know, the cryptocurrency markets are going through a massive bloodbath today.
I think you're actually about a week late. We had Roger on
Thursday of last week, but you know, Facebook has that way of posting things on there. Yeah, I did see the cryptocurrency markets. Many of the altcoins
are down.
Went down, and Bitcoin
down.
Bitcoin went down, and altcoins went down worse.
Definitely. And so I've come to this realization that I don't think blockchain is the answer. I truly think that this Tangle thing that's come out, you know, blockchain 2.0. I think this thing project really needs to be given some serious thought right now. And I think the altcoins, I don't see why we have to have 1,000 coins out there and more ICOs coming out every single day right now. I think there's going to be a massive consolidation taking place here going into this.
What's a consolidation mean in a market like this?
Well, what I mean by that, and I mean right now I'm probably trading 30 different altcoins at the moment, and I've lost a substantial today. But the thing about it is you know, if you look at what people are looking for right now, they're looking for very fast transactions. We've seen, you know, I don't see how Bitcoin or Ethereum can go ahead and sustain the amount of people and the transactions that are taking place here. And with IOTA, you know, on this Tangle technology, it gets faster the more the network grows.
What is IOTA?
It stands for the Internet of Things.
Okay.
And they came out a few weeks ago. I put $60,000 into this when it came out.
Wow.
It hit a market cap of $1.5 billion day one. It hit number 8 on coinmarketcap.com. I text Roger Ver the other day, and he texted me back, and I said, I really think that this is the answer with all the Bitcoin issues going on, Roger. He goes, I don't know enough about it yet. I said, you got to take a look at this right now.
I looked at it, actually, because I noticed it popped up. So for listeners that aren't familiar, we're talking about the world of cryptocurrency, these decentralized, really interesting, you know, electronic currencies out there. We've been following Bitcoin and some of the others like Dash and Ether for quite a while here on Free Talk Live. And as you said, this IOTA just popped onto the scene. It's brand new as of, about a month maybe? It's been around for maybe a month at this point.
But it was in development for 4 years, and Microsoft is already on board with this thing and has put millions of dollars into this already.
Now, you said you put in $60,000, so presumably you could sum up for our listeners who are not cryptocurrency experts, many of them, you know, what is this, what makes it special compared to the rest of them?
Okay, there's a few things here. What is happening right now is we're looking for a coin that can that has unlimited scalability. The transaction speeds we've seen Ethereum get bogged down recently, and you know, we had Bitcoin transactions taking like 24 hours. It seemed like not too long ago either. It's a pain in the butt. And so that's number one is speed. First of all, this coin is on Tangle technology, not blockchain. Blockchain is what all these other coins are running on, and it cannot sustain the masses. The Tangle only gets faster. It doubles as more people come on to it. It just gets faster and faster.
The reason why, as my understanding, and I did not read, you know, the whole white paper or whatever, but I did, you know, kind of read the pitch and their basic explanation of how this thing works. My understanding is there are no like traditional miners like you would have in the normal Bitcoin, all the other altcoins circumstance, that each of the nodes in the system has to verify two transactions before their current transaction will be allowed to be sent. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's very true. So again, people used to say, oh, Bitcoin has no fees at all. Bull honky.
Well, it's always had fees. I mean, hang on, Jay Ryan. We'll continue here because if they can get rid of fees from these decentralized currencies, that'll be a major feat.
Do you want to help build a better financial system for everyone? Join Dash. Dash is digital cash, a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast and easy. Fees are low and transactions are confirmed instantly. You can pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime for just pennies on the dollar. Get started at Dash.org. Dash is decentralized, run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Anyone can invest in Dash and earn rewards for helping run the Dash network. Join Dash and help us create a better financial system for everyone. Take back control over your financial future today. Find out more at Dash.org. And get your own Dash wallet today. That's Dash.org.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll free here. You can bring up whatever you want. Still to come, we haven't even scratched the surface of the story. Three rules I made my daughter swear to obey at college. We're going to share those with you here, and you can weigh in with your thoughts if you want. We were talking about helicopter parents, and the idea of these parents that are constantly hovering over their offspring, even when they should be letting them out of the nest.
At 23.
Yeah, they're nesting in their college dorm room, whatever. So we're going to get into that. And actually, Jay Ryan had called in at the end of the last hour. He dropped off off the line, and I guess he wasn't sure whether he should hold or not. And sorry for any confusion about that, but yes, I had intended to hold him over. He was calling about IOTA, which is, you know, one of the myriad of competitors to Bitcoin out there. And I happen to have noticed this thing come into the top 10. This is the way a lot of people find out about the altcoins, right? They're looking at the top 10 and, oh, there's something new in the top 10. What's that? Because there's hundreds of these things out there. So for listeners that don't know, Bitcoin, the world's first decentralized cryptocurrency. It's amazing. We have been huge fans of it here on Free Talk Live for a long time. But there's all these others, these Me Too kind of, oh, we're doing Bitcoin, but we're doing it a little differently, which is basically what almost all of them are.
I think it's different than different. In many cases, they have, improvements.
That's what I mean. They've
slight
tweaked something.
Some profound.
They've tweaked something about the original Bitcoin code. Now, there have been some things that have been very different from Bitcoin. So Monero was one of those examples where they actually did like a completely original cryptocurrency, as I understand it, with the Monero code.
Yep.
So most of the other things that are competing with Bitcoin started as Bitcoin, and then they just edited the code because Bitcoin is open source, meaning that anybody who wants to can copy the code, edit the code, and then they release this new thing. It's Markcoin or whatever. And that's why there probably is a Markcoin if you went and looked it up.
I like the sound of that.
There are hundreds of these things out there. At the last time I looked, which was probably like a year ago, there were at least 600 of these alternatives to Bitcoin.
There's probably 60,000 at this point,
maybe,
including the Ethereum tokens that are out there.
Yeah, because not all of them are listed on all of the CoinMarketCap websites or CoinCap.io, where you can go and you can look at a glance and see a bunch of these different things and what they're worth and what their prices, the changes have been over time. So you've got a very select group of these things that are not based solely on Bitcoin. So Monero is one of them, and it's doing okay. It's what, like, it dropped from $50 to $40 within the last couple of days, but Monero's still out there, still going
strong.
I've
heard predictions and tend to believe those predictions that Monero is sort of the coin of the future, but who knows.
Well, maybe this IOTA will be, because the claim with the IOTA is that it's not like Bitcoin. It was created completely different. It has this thing called the Tangle, which the gentleman who was on the phone was talking about, instead of a blockchain. So for listeners that are new to the concept, the blockchain is what, Mark? Do you want to take a crack at that?
Yeah, it's an online ledger, meaning that transactions are recorded online forever and ever, and then that ledger is copied hundreds of thousands of times across the internet, and it is immutable. And yeah, I think that's what I want to say about it.
And it requires these people who are doing what's called mining in order to create the blocks that are put into the blockchain. And what's in the blocks are the transactions that have happened within basically like the last 10 minutes. I'm being very general here for the sake of the discussion.
Sure.
None of us are engineers and we don't want things to get too complicated. But that's what's behind the scenes of Bitcoin, this immutable, distributed, decentralized ledger that takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of computing power. It takes a lot of power, literally, like electric power, to run these miners. It
takes a lot of electric power to run the Visa and MasterCard networks, too.
Yeah, sure it does.
And much of that electricity is actually subsidized to the to the people that are running their little card swipers. Imagine how much power goes on in every business, on every card swiper out there that runs all day long at every checkout aisle that you swipe your card through. Yeah. All of that is being paid by the business owner as opposed to the Visa and MasterCard network.
True.
And the amount of money that goes into that, no one ever wants to quantify that.
Yeah, calculates that. I mean, it's probably not a whole lot because those things don't suck down a whole lot of power. They're just...
But there's a whole lot of them.
That's true. That's true. So the idea here of the IOTA, he mentioned Internet of Things. You guys have heard of this, right? Internet of Things? Do you guys know what that is?
Yes.
Internet
of
Things.
Your refrigerator is now spying on you.
Yeah, well, that's the sort of the possible downside of the Internet of Things. But let's look at reality. It's probably going to be pretty popular, this Internet of Things, right?
Yep.
That there's all these – the idea is – and I'm not an expert on it. I don't know much about it. I've just heard – the idea is that like every item, every electrical thing in your home, refrigerator, coffee maker, surveillance system, whatever the electrical items might be, that they'll all have their own IP address, which is why they moved from IPv4 to IPv6, because they needed more addresses. They ran out. Your IP address with the three numbers, or four numbers that can be up to 256. They made a longer and more complicated number that involves letters now, because they needed so many more IP addresses. And the idea was they were going to need it, as I understand it, for not just the human beings on Earth, but for all of their things.
Yeah.
So each one of these things is going to be online and exchanging information. It could be something as simple as your refrigerator, noticing that you're out of milk. And so it places an order for more milk for when you go to pick up the milk from the grocery store or whatever. That's kind of my understanding of the idea.
It just seems easier to me to go and look in the refrigerator and see what you need and decide if you want it.
Because
you know what? The NSA can pay for their own infrastructure. I'm not going to buy it for them.
I'm with you. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but
right,
I just...
Right. This is what this is what curmudgeons sound like, just so you know.
I don't get it.
I'm with you 100%. I have no interest in turning my coffee maker on with my cell phone.
Yeah.
Okay, so fine. I could set my coffee maker. It has the settings for it.
Right.
Sometimes I do it so it'll make coffee in the morning. It'll be ready by the time I get up.
There you go.
But it turns out somebody's got to put the grounds in there. Somebody's got to put the water in there.
Yep.
And if I'm going to do all of that, I might as well set the thing and have it go off when I want
it to. And I mean, some things have a trade-off. So, I have one of these, but there's a lot of stuff I can do with this.
Mm-hmm.
It actually does things.
Right.
Putting a computer chip in my refrigerator is not going to accomplish anything. And I understand that if any NSA agent wants to right now, they can go through my text messages and hear me talk, which I'm on the radio anyway, so have fun with that. But, I understand that this comes with a cost, but, if I want to, I can leave it in my bedroom and walk into the kitchen and talk about something that I don't want anybody to hear.
Now, your refrigerator might be able to pick that up if you have one of these things.
So,
because they have them where you can actually, tell it what to do, right? Like, order, Mr. Refrigerator, order me this.
And yeah, and so for the benefit of not needing to go see how much milk you have, and then you don't even get to be the one to decide when to buy it, it like decides.
I don't know. Maybe like, it just adds it to a shopping list and then you, you know, submit
the list. Yeah, but
that
doesn't tell me anything. If I just go look at my shopping list and it's like, oh, milk, that doesn't tell me how much I have.
I see what you're saying.
Like, what if I want to buy it when I have a half gallon left? What if I want to buy it only when I run out?
They
like,
might have programming
know.
That allows you to do that. They could weigh the shelf. Where, you know, like they at the automated checkouts, they have
right. These are conveniences
scale.
I just don't need.
Yeah. I'm with you.
I just don't need it.
I'm with you. So, like, even though I'm not interested in the Internet of Things, doesn't mean the rest of the world isn't going to be interested.
Other people are going to do it just right. Because it's cool. Hey, yeah. Look what I can do.
Right.
I get it.
And manufacturers may do it anyway.
I mean, people
without...
have Alexa, and what is the Google's version of that?
Home. Google Home.
Yeah, like, that is completely, like, are you insane?
I don't have that, but my old roommate did have one of the Alexas, and he seemed to like it.
I'm glad I live with anarchists because I
he is a supposed anarchist, he liked it. He was into it. So I mean, yeah, there are going to be people who are into this. But even further, even for people who don't care about it, there's a good chance that the manufacturers are going to go ahead and put these things in every coffee maker anyway.
It's
you know what I mean?
Done. It's going to be to scale.
I think there's still going to be a demand for $20 coffee makers. As
but
opposed
eventually,
to
they will be $20
coffee.
What I'm saying is, these are going to be small chips that are going to be, you know, essentially meaningless, all working on Wi-Fi. Over time, it'll get more affordable. Not tomorrow necessarily, but we'll continue here with the Internet of Things. Also, college drinking rules coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. You may dial in toll-free and take control of the airwaves here. Bring up whatever's on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype as well. And the Skype username is lrn.fm. In the studio tonight with you, you've got Ian.
Melanie.
And Mark.
So we were talking, originally we were going to talk about the three rules that some mom has told her daughter in college that she has to follow when it comes to drinking, and we can tell you more about that coming up here in moments. But first, we got into this conversation about the Internet of Things. However, before we get into that, Melanie, you are launching your own business as an accountant, which that's kind of your thing. You do accountant stuff.
Well, she's not launching her own business. She is expanding her business beyond the purview of simply people she knows.
Okay, well, good point. You had an accounting business. You kind of wound it down to get a regular job, and now you're winding it back up again. Is that more accurate?
Yes.
So what do you think the advantages of people going with you as far as an accountant is, people, especially libertarian types?
So there's a lot of accountants, which just baffles my mind because that's not where their paycheck is coming from, who seem super convinced that they work for the IRS.
Oh, boy.
And while I don't have the firepower to get rid of the IRS at this point in time,
you would if you could.
Absolutely. I will make sure that they don't steal any more from you than has to be the case in whatever your scenario is, I guess.
So you know your stuff when it comes to how to file things.
Yes.
And folks who want to connect with you, because, you know, most people want to do accounting stuff toward tax time, but there are people who need it throughout the year, right? Accounting services?
Most people is going to be just, you know, the April deadline. Mm-hmm. Some people have quarterly stuff going on. If you have employees, you have at least that. It just depends on what you have going on.
So you want to talk to, presumably you would like to connect with people who maybe they're currently doing their own taxes and are sick of it and want to have somebody just handle it for them and handle it better. And then also people who might already have somebody doing accounting that they want to get rid of and would love to bring a liberty-oriented accountant on to help them. Would you say that's accurate?
Yes. I mean, and I also do bookkeeping, so some of that's on like a monthly basis.
Okay.
just keeping track of whatever you have going on.
So you basically help people find savings that they may have missed. You have that experience, that kind of thing. You're helping my family, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And people can go to tax.freetalklive.com to get in contact with you.
Yes.
There you go.
That's right. Tax.freetalklive.com for Melanie's accounting services. So IOTA is what we were talking about, this cryptocurrency that's just hit the scene. You know, there's a lot of these things out there. This is not an endorsement of this thing. It's just a thing to talk about because it does seem to be different. We were explaining the idea of blockchain, which is the technology that runs Bitcoin and pretty much all of the other Bitcoin Me Toos out there, these altcoins that are kind of basically like Bitcoin but with some tweaks in different ways. Litecoin and, you know, Dash and, you know, all these other things are all, almost all of them are based off of Bitcoin.
Yes.
And the blockchain is where the transactions go. It's this immutable ledger, and it takes a lot of energy, it takes a lot of time and computer time to make the blockchain thing work. And as we've seen recently with Bitcoin, once the blocks get full, Bitcoin kind of is broken in that the fees have gone crazy because people have been bidding up these fees while the technicians argue about how to fix the problem with the capacity issues of Bitcoin, which
Bitcoin's
is
Bitcoin's fees issues are largely fixed at this point.
No, it's they're down. The Bitcoin fees are down, which is a good thing. There's no doubt about that because they're no longer – you don't have to spend $2 to send a Bitcoin transaction through. You might have to send 25 cents, but that's still 10 times, you know, or more than 10 times what the fees used to be, even if it's 25 cents. And that still cuts out microtransactions from being able to be done with Bitcoin. So Bitcoin still is broken because the blocks are still full. And so the problem is still there. The you know, this particular symptom of super high fees has been remedied for the time being, but there's no guarantee it's going to continue until they fix it at the source, which they have not yet done. They're in the process of doing that. Meanwhile, other people are looking at other options. They're looking at Dash. They're looking at Ether. They're looking at other things to use. But all of these things are based on the blockchain. So the people who are, you know, talking about IOTA, as our last caller was, are pointing out, well, this isn't blockchain. It's this thing called
Tangle.
The Tangle. And the claim about this Tangle is that it allows people to send transactions without a blockchain. It is a blockless distributed ledger, as they describe it on their website, IOTA.org, that's scalable, lightweight, and for the first time ever makes it possible to transfer value without any fees. If that is true, and as you pointed out here, Mark, we're not engineers. I looked at the white paper, but it's all, you know, mathy stuff. I don't know. I got to algebra, okay? And then after that, that was it.
And I'm really skeptical right now of any of these new tokens. It's gotten to the point that you're basically at the level of the dot-com boom, mm-hmm. that I could bring out my own coin tomorrow and I could make some outrageous claim about this coin, like it will make women around the world orgasm simultaneously. And people will buy this simply based on the claims that surround it, as opposed to the functionality as to whether or not the coin or the token or the, you know, the software can do what it says.
I get what you're saying, but, you know, presuming this is an open source project, which almost all of these things are, people who have the programming chops can go in and they can audit the code and they can see whether it does.
But can they get that information that this is BS to me?
Well, you'd have to probably go out and look for it, would be my guess.
Okay.
Because they're not going to come knocking on your door and let you know that they've done investigations.
I'm just saying I'm skeptical. That's all.
Yeah, and I think you should be. And
anytime anything claims to be free, okay, so it is a network, there is maintenance, and it doesn't cost anything. That doesn't make sense to me.
It was one of the thoughts that came up in my mind too, Melanie.
So it apparently has something to do with the idea that each node on the network, if you want to transmit a transaction to the network, you have to solve two other transactions, essentially, or verify or something. So in order to send one transaction, you must assist with the network on two transactions.
Yep, that sells me.
It's an interesting idea. Yeah. And if it's true that there's no more fees with this IOTA, then that's brilliant. And what they have as far as the, you know, why are they doing this? Well, the idea is that these devices, these Internet of Things devices, will somehow need some sort of currency between them. I'm not sure why that is, but that's the suggestion that, you know, that they're making.
Right now, everything's got a currency exchanging between it, right?
And so that this means that those little those devices can have the microest of microtransactions. So the idea with Bitcoin in the past was that you could do microtransactions. We've talked about this to some extent in detail. The idea being that with PayPal or credit cards, to send $1 with PayPal is going to cost you 30 cents plus 2.9% of that dollar.
Sure.
So to send, you look confused. Yes, it's a 30 cent minimum per transaction with PayPal.
That's pretty much
it
plus
2.9%. Depends on which account you use.
If you're doing a personal transaction, they waive the fees. But for businesses, 30 cents per transaction across the board plus 2.9%. So you can't send 25 cents with PayPal. It's just not a possibility. There's more coming up here in moments. What does all that mean? Microtransactions. What's a dust currency? It's Free Talk Live. There are lots of ways to listen to Free Talk Live. Our podcast has been around since podcasts began, and now the FTL feed is loaded with content besides our full show archives. Did you know that we make it easy for you to customize your podcast subscriptions? We have different feeds, one that includes only our full shows, one with just the Daily Digest, and one with just the Edgington Post. You decide what you listen to. It's quick and easy to customize your feeds at feeds.freetalklive.com. That's feeds.freetalklive.com. It is Free Talk Live. You are invited to join us here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, so Skype on in here at Skype username lrn.fm. Tonight, it's Ian.
Melanie.
And Mark.
Mark, tell me about hope.freetalklive.com. What's going on over there? What is it?
It is a project that we have attempting to build we're successfully building an orphanage over in Jinja, Uganda. At this point, we've got the first floor built, putting in the conduit for the wiring. We're going to be working on, they've got the concrete mixing equipment that just arrived today, so they're going to be putting on the second floor starting here in the very near future. They hope to have that done in 3 days. And it's a lot of work, and it's frankly a lot of money by their standards. Mm-hmm. $25,000 is probably what it's going to take to finish this up, $25,000, $30,000, somewhere in there. And that's not much by our standards to put together a building that's large enough for 40-something kids plus some caretakers to live there and, you know, take care of them and all that other stuff. Plus, they'll have an area for a large garden so they can sell vegetables and stuff in town and support themselves. But we've been working on that for some time, and frankly, we could use a little help. We're getting every dollar matched by both Cell411 and Jax.io, the official wallet of Free Talk Live. And all you have to do is whatever you send in, we're going to get it triple matched. So please go to hope.freetalklive.com. We've got every method that you might be interested in being able to get money to us to be able to get it matched. Hope.freetalklive.com.
All right. So coming up, more about college drinking. We'll get into the three rules I made my daughter swear to obey at college, according to some mom website. Coming up here in a moment, but just a little bit more about Internet of Things and this new currency that's supposedly designed for it, the IOTA. Now, apparently when you buy an IOTA, you're actually buying an M IOTA, meaning that one of these M IOTAs is a million IOTA.
Yeah.
And if you look at the, for instance, coincap.io, which is a great website to, you know, take a look, see at what the different alternative currencies, you know, Bitcoin and the rest of them have as far as their market cap value and, you know, their price points and everything. IOTA currently at number 8 out of the top 10. Its price has been going down. Who knows where it's going to stop, but it's been going down, you know, pretty consistently over the last month that it's basically been around. The market cap around $613 million right now, and there are 2.8 billion million IOTA. So add, you know, a bunch more zeros to the end of that.
It's like how many stars there are in the galaxy kind of thing.
There's way more of this IOTA stuff than there is of Dogecoin. And for listeners who have been listening for a while, you remember Dogecoin. Currently, Doge is at number 21 on the charts. It used to be in the top 10, Doge. It used to be in the top, I think, 5 at some point. But Doge is this kind of internet meme that became a cryptocurrency. And, you know, it was sort of like a joke. But at the same time, some people were taking it pretty seriously. And the idea was it was like a what they call a dust currency, I think.
Yeah. So there's a lot of it. So you could make potentially... microtransactions very easily.
Well, and the thing is, of course, Doge has fees, but this Emma or this IOTA thing says that they don't have fees. They've come up with a new technology that is a blockchainless tangle or whatever they're calling it, and that's the way it's set up has eliminated the fees to send, which means that if you want to send a hundredth of a penny's worth of this IOTA, it'll only cost you the hundredth of a penny that you want to send out. There's no fee on top of that. And what that could, in theory, enable is a lot of microtransaction-based concepts that Bitcoin and the rest of them have never been able to accomplish before. What will that mean? I don't know. That's for the market to decide. Will this take off? I don't know. But it's an interesting idea.
Right. I can't remember right now, off the top of my head, but there was some math that was done relatively recently that I think it was basically... A Satoshi is about 400th of a cent.
Okay.
Currently, you probably can whip this out on your computer faster than I could, but I'm really surprised at that. I mean, when we were talking about Satoshis, the Satoshi is the last
the smallest
decimal place for Bitcoin,
and Bitcoin goes 8 decimals.
Yeah, it goes 8 decimals. So currently, because Bitcoin has moved up in value so much. Mm-hmm. The value, like a penny, a Satoshi's got to be like a 400th of a penny. That means that if Bitcoin increases by another level factor of 10, as it has multiple times now, if that'll make it a 40th of a penny. If it does another, it's a fourth of a penny.
Yeah.
If it does another, it's 4 pennies.
That's a big change.
You know, and if Bitcoin gets that big, and it could, then... it's going to be very difficult to add a decimal place because it's been very difficult to do anything with Bitcoin.
Right, convince all the programmers to add some more decimals. Right.
Now, I think that we might be able to live in a world where the lowest denomination is four pennies, essentially. Mm-hmm. But can we live in a world where the lowest denomination is 40 cents
right.
or $4?
Yeah.
And I think not.
So I think it's interesting, this IOTA thing. I put a little bit of money into it, and subsequently it started going down even more. That's what happens. You don't ever invest something you can't afford to lose. I'd say it's one to keep an eye on. Right now, from a technical standpoint, I also, not only did I put a little bit of money into it, I also installed the full node just to see what that process was like. I wanted to actually try that out. Rather than just buying a little bit on an exchange and sitting on it, I wanted to try the full node software out. And it was a bit of a pain in the butt to set up. You've got to connect to 9 other people, and you have to get their IP address, and you have to put that in this program, and you got to open up your port on your router, and the average person certainly cannot get into the node operation side of this at this time. And they're still working out some bugs, so maybe that's one of the reasons why the price has been going down, because it's not it's not done, basically, at this point. It's out, but it's still a work in progress. So I think it's one to keep an eye on. It does seem unique, and it does seem like it could have some potential for the future. But then again, all these things have some potential, right? Potential's a dime a dozen out there. The question is, will anything actually come of this?
I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know either. Only time will tell. But let's get into the story here from Free Range Kids. A little bit of fun for the remainder of the show. It was this story written by Lenore Scanese from Free Range Kids. She's referencing this piece in what she describes as the momosphere. Momosphere. it's been getting some play or some attention in the momosphere. So this is the 3 rules I made my daughter swear to obey in college. Number 1, leave no one behind. Now, what the writer means, says Scanese, is that when you go out with your friends to a bar or party, no one should get left behind. That sounds pretty good, she says, unless one of your friends lets you know that she wants to stay later than you or go home with someone else. In that case, it doesn't make any sense that you all have to stick together. This isn't a field trip. Obviously, you should help your companion if they're drunk or if you think they're making a bad move, but your role is friend, not duena. I don't know what duena means. Is that Spanish?
I don't know what duena
is. D-U-E-N-A. Worse, here's how the rule ends. Quote, no one goes to the restroom alone.
Woman of Steel.
No one steps outside to take a phone call alone. No one is left alone, period.
Wow. That's
Wait, was that her this interpretation?
No, this is a quote from the article she's referencing. This
okay,
is the momosphere.
If you're at a bar that's too dangerous to go pee by yourself, don't go to that bar. Go to a different bar. There's plenty of them.
Yeah, what exactly
or
happens
maybe
to...
maybe not. I don't know. There are in Louisiana.
I mean, besides fighting with other women in a bathroom, what are the odds that, you know, something else terrifying is going to happen
I
in a bar
you
bathroom?
Could be,
pretty
you know,
slim, I right. think.
Mugged, yeah. like, you know, grabbed and drug off, you know, mashed on
in
the way to the bathroom.
In a woman's bathroom, though? I don't think the women's bathroom. Guys in the bar are going to be cool with that.
Right, I mean, it's in a bar.
It, to the women's bathroom. I don't know.
From
the
bar to the women's bathroom?
Well, there's this news story that was out there last year of this, you know, guy that got off because he was, you know, doing this drunk woman next to a dumpster out there, and he was bad, and she was drunk, and, you know, the internet went bananas.
Yeah, but they were outside down
How'd they
the
get
street.
There? How'd they get there?
There's more coming up here. More of the three rules that somebody made their daughter swear to obey at college. 855-450-FREE, like freedom, if you want to join us. Yeah. It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Three rules that some lady made her daughter swear to obey at college. We're going to continue with that here. And you can, of course, take control of the airwaves and bring up whatever you want. If we don't finish these three rules, because we are going to get into some phone calls, we'll finish them tonight because we're all staying on here for a 10:30 Eastern time, first ever live stream to YouTube only. 306. First of all, we've never done a live stream just to YouTube only. We've never done that. We've always, our YouTube videos are always simultaneous with a radio show until tonight. So we're going to do a live stream to YouTube only, and it's going to be a 360 degree camera. So we're going all in with the 360 gimmick here on Free Talk Live, and we'll be able to take calls from our Free Talk Live amplifiers only during that show, but we will be able to take your texts in the YouTube chat room. So this will also be the first time that we've ever really, in a long time, given like full attention basically to the YouTube chat room. And I suspect it's going to be an ugly, ugly thing knowing some of those YouTube chatters. But it's an experiment, and yeah, we're going to do it tonight.
Screw them.
On our YouTube channel. If you're not a subscriber yet, you can go to youtube.freetalklive.com. That's a quick URL that'll take you right to our YouTube channel. You can subscribe there. And then at the right time, which should be about 10:30 Eastern tonight, there will be a live stream coming from this fancy little 360 cam, which really isn't that great. I'm not really impressed with it, but it works. And we finally got it working, and it should go for at least a half an hour without overheating on us. So that's the plan. So if we don't get through the three rules, we'll finish the three rules tonight uncensored on the internet at youtube.freetalklive.com about a half hour after we're done with the radio show. It gives everybody time to go grab a snack, and I got to take the dog out, that kind of thing. So to your phone calls and thoughts here, let's talk first to Jimmy. He's in North Carolina. Jimmy, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Melanie, and Mark.
Hello there.
Hey, Jimmy.
How you doing this fine evening?
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
I hear y'all were talking about Bitcoin. I just got a little question. I seem to be confused about how it works. Because I was down at 7-Eleven the other day trying to get some lottery tickets. I said, I got some Bitcoin for you. I said, no, we only take U.S. dollar. Mm-hmm. I said, well, I only got Bitcoin because I'm in a little bit of trouble here financially. I said, I'm sorry. So I'm just curious, can we use that anywhere practically?
Can you use, what was the last part of what you said there?
Can we use Bitcoin anywhere practically is what I'm,
practically.
What I'm asking.
Sure.
Not yet.
Well, you can use it practically on saveitpurse.com where you can.
He asked anywhere, Mark. Can you use it anywhere?
Oh. Well, no, anywhere can mean somewhere.
Okay, yes. You can use it some places.
Anywhere can mean everywhere.
Right.
Yes. So the answer is yes, you can use it somewhere.
Yeah.
The answer is no, you can't use it
everywhere. Right. 7-Eleven not accepting Bitcoin. But there are ways that you can spend Bitcoin in real life without people even realizing that's what you're doing. There are debit cards, for instance, out there that are backed by Bitcoin. that are loaded with Bitcoin and then converted at the time of the loading to U.S. dollars. And then you can just spend that debit card anywhere you want that takes Visa. So that's one option for you.
Oh, all right. Does Bitcoin work with alimony?
Thanks for the call, Jimmy. I appreciate it. Toll-free number.
Maybe.
Oh, sorry, Melanie. Try again.
So Bitcoin might work better for you if you don't make bad life choices that end up with you being broke, buying lottery tickets, and paying alimony.
Yeah. Although, I presume if your ex-wife accepts Bitcoin, then it could work, right?
I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't either.
Family court is weird. Well, I mean, I wouldn't be divorced in the first place, but family court is weird. There are situations in family court where two people can agree to something on their own, 100%. We both agree to this. We think this is reasonable. We're doing it for 10 years, and then 10 years later, she's like, you know what? I don't think that's what I actually wanted to do. And then so now the guy's paying back child support for 10 years because the number that they agreed to wasn't the number from the chart.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be doing weird things in family court.
Gotcha. Good advice. And you are a trained attorney, although you're not an actual attorney at this time.
Yes.
So I don't know if that's legal advice, but it's a suggestion, and it sounds like a good one. So let's see here. We actually had another person, but they dropped off here. So let's get back into the three rules that some lady made her daughter swear to obey. We hadn't finished the first one yet, which was leave no one behind. And Lenore Skenazy at freerangekids.com writes, no one goes to the bathroom alone? The actual quote from this article she's citing here says, quote, no one goes to the restroom alone. No one steps outside to take a phone call alone. No one is left alone, period.
Which is really weird if you have, like, a mixed gender group of friends. Like, you can't go to the bathroom alone, so somebody's in the wrong bathroom.
And you don't go outside to take a phone call? I mean, what is the concern here that some men in a van are going to roll up and grab you and, you know, throw you with masks on and throw you into their van as you're standing out in front of the bar smoking a cigarette and, you know, talking on a cell phone? What is the concern here?
I think the concern is somebody might imbibe so much alcohol that they end up making really, really bad choices.
Yeah.
And or unable to make choices at all. And I always wonder about this. I mean, I haven't been in a bar where somebody's drank so much alcohol that they can't – where a woman has drank so much alcohol that they can't make choices. Mm. I have been, I guess, a couple occasions where men have, but, you know, not women. And
where men are just, like, passing out and
– yeah, like that.
Bad.
And, well, you know, you get them home, you know?
Bars are different. Bars are drastic. There's drastically different types of bars.
There sure are.
I mean, I feel like this is a badly applied good general rule. So, like, you don't, like, all go out, you know, to the bar with your friends. It's like, oh, she got too drunk. Well, she decided to go home with that guy who we've never met before. Oh, well, she's 21. Who cares? Like, you don't do that, but you don't, like, follow them into the bathroom. Like, this is... like, you don't abandon people, but you don't stalk. This is silly.
Let's continue with your calls and thoughts. Joe is on the line. He's watching online or listening online over at freetalklive.com. Hello, Joe, in West Palm Beach.
Yes, hello. How are you? How's everyone?
Good. What's on your mind tonight?
Well.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, hi. I really just wanted to say the past few months or year has been very difficult for me.
Why?
As a gay male Trump supporter.
You're not keeping it together, there, Joe. Okay, you got to keep it together. It could have been funny. I don't know where he was going with that.
There have to be some, right?
Yes, absolutely. Gay male Trump supporters, there could have been some comedy gold in there, but you got to keep it together if you're going to do a good crank call. Sorry, Joe. All right, so...
people would get good at this?
Well, I mean, it's probably his first time.
Oh, it's tricky.
Yeah, and the pressure's on when you call talk radio. I still feel nervous sometimes when I call into talk radio shows, and I'm a pro, right? I sit behind a microphone every night, but for whatever reason, when I'm the caller, it can be a little bit nerve-wracking for whatever reason. So I don't blame somebody. Number two on the list of three rules I made my daughter swear to obey at college from, let's give credit where credit is due, Mom, what was it? Mom something or other, one of these momosphere, as she describes it, websites, foreverymom.com is where this came from. Number two, watch when your drink is poured. Keep your hand over your drink at all times. Never leave your drink unattended.
I've heard a lot of stories about this stuff.
keep your hand over your drink at all times.
Or if you're not looking at it directly, yeah.
Okay. It's like, how common is this, Melanie? I mean, people are like pouring GHB or something like that into drinks.
I hear you can do.
There's a lot of stuff you can slip into drinks. Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, like, what is the cost of like holding your drink a different way, mm-hmm. approaching zero? Like, what is the risk? You know, pretty high. Hmm. So,
is it that high though? As Scanese points out here,
or the cost, I guess, not the risk percentage.
She says, boy, if I had only three rules to give my kid, I wouldn't waste one on this. The reason the writer does is because, quote, it's very easy to slip something into someone's drink, unquote, which is true. But the idea that men commonly spike unattended drinks with date rape drugs is not. Here's what The Guardian said in a long article titled, quote, alcohol is by far the most dangerous date rape drug.
Yes.
Quote.
So they buy it for you.
Studies,
that's what's dangerous.
Studies suggest public fears about drink spiking are unjustified. A large analysis conducted in 2001 examined 3,303 cases of suspected DFSA, drug-facilitated sexual assault, in the U.S. The results suggested public fears about drink spiking were unjustified, with the authors stating that, quote, detailed examination of the testing results does not support the contention that any single drug, apart from alcohol, can be particularly identified as a date rape drug. They couldn't even identify any other drugs for this supposed fear of date rape drugs. That's it for our radio show tonight. If you want to catch our uncensored 360-degree experimental YouTube stream, it will kick off at youtube.freetalklive.com. in about a half hour from now.
YouTube.freetalklive.com to hear Mark say the F-bomb.
Hi, this is Mark Edge of Free Talk Live. Michael W. Dean's book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, changed my life. In a culture that attempts to turn you into a compliant victim, this book gives you implementable steps on everything from how to be aware of your environment walking down the street to business, to how to handle a toxic person in your life. If you're a human, you need to read this book at least once. Go to Amazon and get the Kindle version, or paperback, or an audiobook of A User's Manual for the Human Experience.